and buying time, killing people next in line. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. Caesarship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they war. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight. Social side, they don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. See their shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No more things, cut trees, lie to your face, fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, my favorite little network on the whole wide internet. Anyways, it is the 28th of September, and we're almost into October. But thankfully, we've had nice weather up till now, which is pretty darn decent. And turned cool last night. It's supposed to be cool for a few days and then warm back up for a while, so that's okay. Anyways, what are we going to talk about tonight? Let's see. I was sent a very... We're going to have to put our feet down somewhere and say, like, hello. I think enough is enough. I mean, we're so far over the top on this nonsense of genderism, it's getting out of hand. Now, I do know for a fact that everything is pushing the agenda. Okay, it said so in the UN documents long, long, long time ago that they're going to use everything. And one of the things they planned on using specifically was sports to push their agendas. So this, while it's sickening and it makes me almost want to puke, and it makes me ask the hockey coaches and the parents and the kids playing hockey to kind of maybe it's time to vacate the whole thing, because this is a pretty, pretty sick piece that it's now a requirement. It's not if you want to be involved in it or not. It's a freaking requirement. And so this was sent to me. Transgender training mandatory for Ontario minor hockey coaches. You heard that right. Minor hockey coaches, the place your kid goes to play hockey, has to have transgender training. Education on transgender athletes is mandatory for all Ontario minor hockey coaches, trainees, and managers this season. The latest step in a series of changes stemming from a human rights complaint filed by a transgender teen in 2013. Now, what we got going on here, if anybody hasn't noticed it yet, is we have the majority being run not only by a minority, but such a minuscule minority that your chances of really running across a transgender is pretty slim. But because some kid in 2013 put in a complaint to the Human Rights Commission, which is a UN commission, which is pushing the agenda, now everyone, all the coaches, all the trainers, have to be trained in how to deal with a transgender. Well, why don't you go find something else to do, right? You know, it's like that gay couple that went to an old couple's house, knowing they were Christian, and said they wanted to rent their basement apartment or whatever it was. And the couple says, well, like, sorry. And these are really old couple. It hasn't bothered anybody their whole lives. And all of a sudden, this gay couple shows up on their doorstep because they're in an apartment for rent. And, you know, the old couple says, you know, that really doesn't jive with our feelings or thought processes or lifestyle or anything else. So, you know, there's probably other apartments to go rent. And that old couple was dragged in. It's no different than gay couple when it goes to a bake shop and says, you know, can you make us a wedding cake? And they go, wow, you know, we're really not into that shit. There's lots of bakeries. And they ended up putting that bakery out of business. So enough is enough. We got to say no and mean it. But anyways, a pair of online training modules must be completed by Sunday or within a month of the person being assigned to a team. Non-compliance means the coach, manager, or trainer will not be registered by their minor hockey association. So now you've been maybe, you know, working with kids and helping kids and participating in the hockey league for decades possibly. And then all of a sudden, bang, you have to take a transgender course. This is beyond. This is how they're taking us down, folks. I don't know how anyone would put up with this crap, but apparently they can shove whatever they want down our throat these days, and we don't even whimper about it. And that's not so good. So if you are thinking of moving to Ontario and you like to coach hockey, you can read this, and maybe you want to take your transgender course. I'm not going to read it all. It's too stupid. But this is where we are now. So I got another call last night, which I always appreciate, from Calgary, the girl I was talking to last night, is pretty certain that I'm headed to Calgary. I said, I haven't made a decision yet. We'll see. I get one more conversation with a certain candidate out there, then and we put everything together, then I will be in Calgary. We're right now working on a song to hopefully play throughout Calgary. Hopefully the song will crack up in every pub and every car and every MP3 player and iPad or iPhone in the city of Calgary. We got to get this guy out. We'll see what happens there. Good on you, Ron. Come to Calgary. Well, I there's no place I would rather be right now than in Calgary. I do believe that there has to be some work done out in Calgary in order to get this incumbent out of there. Calgary cannot afford another 4 years of this dude. You know, he's an Ismaili Muslim, which means he's tied to the Aga Khan. who's forking money everywhere. Calgary's been turned into a charter city, which means that the province is going to pull even more money out of the city so that it has to be funded by corporations. That's the whole idea of the charter city, is the corporate takeover of the city. And they will run all, they will own all of your infrastructure and your water and everything else. They will force you onto the buses. They will destroy your right of private property. It's all in the cards. And the really sad part is that Calgary would just get more congested, because once Calgary and Edmonton are charter cities, then the funding is removed. Maybe not all at once, but it will slowly be backed out by the province. And the province will say it doesn't have the money to fund the rural areas, because that all goes to the rewilding program. And so the small towns and that out in the rural areas will be forced into the cities, so that the buffalo can roam wild. And the congestion and the problems in the city will just increase. The crime in the city will continue to increase. The quality of life in the city will continue to disintegrate, and it's going to be a hellhole. And we have to get this gentleman, Naheed Nancy, the hell out of Calgary. I mean, he promoted the. There is actually a video on YouTube of Nancy talking about resilient cities, and that he's so proud that Calgary was picked as a resilient city, as one of the 100 resilient cities. Well, who's involved in putting all this nefarious stuff together on the Rockefeller Foundation? And there's nothing good about being a resilient city. That means you're basically the bum boy of the Rockefeller and the UN system, which is about taking your town down. This is a step towards post-nationalism. And if you just look up on the internet, you know, post-nationalism Canada, you will find all kinds of information. Will Canada be the first post-national state? Well, what is the agenda of the globalists? Is the end of nation states. So a very small group of people control your life, your resources, your nation. It's not your nation anymore. And it will be a corporate rule, just like Morris Strong said. I believe in capitalism for me and my friends, and socialism for everybody else. So they hold the pocket strings at that time, and they will decide how much water you use and how much electricity you use, and if and when you can ever cut another tree down. And it's all under international law, and you will be an international slave of a very small group of people, and we can't allow that to happen. So the election in Calgary in particular is probably one of the most important elections that has ever taken place in this nation. And we have to do everything in our power to remove this dick. We got to get him out. You know, he was voted world mayor, I think it was in 2014. Well, that should tell you what the hell's going on. But people, oh, isn't that wonderful? We were voted, our mayor was voted world mayor. You know, people don't have a clue what's going on, right? They just don't have a clue. And that's unfortunate, because without a clue, you're sitting duck, because you don't know what's going on. And so hopefully I can get out to Calgary and we can lay bare the agenda of this particular mayor. Now, the mayor is working hand in hand, very cozy pair, the city manager, because all city managers, CAOs, are specifically trained on how to implement the globalist agendas without telling the public. And the mayor ain't telling the public, and the city manager ain't telling the public. And so, the problem is huge. I want I want, you know, they played up, you know, that Nanshi was the very first Muslim mayor of a major Canadian city. Well, I want him to be the last mayor of any town or city in this country. And it's important this happens. Because whether people understand it or not, to get him out of Calgary will send a humongous message, a positive message, to the rest of the country. Because too many people in this country, the majority of the people in this country, don't think there's anything they can do about anything. And that's absolutely incorrect. So if we can get him out of Calgary, that will send a very, very, very positive message, not only to Calgarians and Albertans, but to the rest of the nation. So it's essential that we get him out. Now, one thing that I find curious is I made up a couple of, I think, what they call them, memes that you put on Facebook. And I did one up. I'll throw it in here. I'll just throw my Facebook in here, and then you can look at these two memes, the last two I put up. But I found a picture of Trudeau and Nanshi with cowboy hats on. I guess they were in Calgary. And you can see some turbans in the background, and you see some other cowboy hats in the background. But these guys, they're laughing, and Trudeau's kind of slapping Nanshi on the shoulder. And I just put this up, and it says, it's kind of a header picture. I put these two treasonous dogs are laughing at you. And then I put another picture below it with Trudeau and Nanshi in their suits this time, and Trudeau's pointing a finger at them. And I just wrote what they're probably talking about, and what I wrote was, Naheed, my Muslim brother, you're doing a great job in Calgary. The people don't get it. And no, they don't get it for the most part. By the way, he says, you look great in the Pride Parade. Keep pushing the diversity and inclusiveness message, and keep pushing the climate change, LOL, because they're both kind of smiling about this. And so then I just put, you know, Naheed Nanshi was heralded as the first Muslim mayor of a major Canadian city. It is our duty to make sure he is also the last Muslim mayor of any town or city in the nation. Make it happen October 16th. Now, for the most part, I'm kind of disappointed in the comments. Now, I mean, this last two posts I put up, I'm not getting any comments of any sort, really, on my particular Facebook, but, you know, I've put this out to a lot of other Facebooks. And I'm kind of disappointed. I'm totally disappointed in the comments for the most part. There's the odd intelligent one, but most of them are, you know, they call them two Muslim bum boys and idiots. And you know, I can't bring myself to say, no, they're not the idiots. We're the idiots. But I'm kind of confused because I got a little bit of flack from a couple of Muslims, which is fine. But I've been getting really hammered. I posted this into Canadian Native News, and I've been getting beat up by the natives, right? Calling me a racist, and, you know, you should take this post down because Facebook may take it down or shut your entire site down. And for the most part, we agree with what's on your site, yada, yada, yada. I have to explain a few things to them that they don't know what they're even talking about. And another one, well, I'll just put this in the Facebook, in the chat. And if you're not in the chat, you can just go to Rock the Boat Radio Facebook and you'll get it there. So, you know, I'm not getting near as many hits as I would like on this. I got, it's been up for less than a day, I think, and it's only got 11,200 and some hits. But I noticed when I put something in that forces people to think, if you've dealt with Facebook, you know what I'm talking about. If you put something in that makes people have to think, your hits are usually lower than if you just put a picture in and say, you know, this guy's an asshole. Then you get hits come out of the woodwork. But people still don't like to think in this country. And that's their problem, not mine. So I'll just throw that in there. And you can look at it if you want. You don't have to. Unless I become prime minister. And then, of course, I'll legislate that you have to look at all my Facebook posts. Because then I'll be so damn powerful. So I'm going to go just... I give you a bowl of stupid here. Okay, I don't know if I pasted this in before. Now, this guy here, Calgary candidate Bill Smith, jumped on board, and I guess some of the people, it's a $75 million project or something with the bus route, their bus rapid transit route. But as per normal, he says his piece, and then they bring Nancy and another woman from the university to jump all over the candidate because the media is involved in the globalism. So, and this is their boy. So they have to protect him because they want him to stay in as mayor. The second mistake this Mr. Smith made was they put a full page ad in the Calgary paper, and apparently they didn't proof the copy very well, and it was full of grammatical mistakes and spelling mistakes, and then jumped all over his ass again, and you'll see that down here in the most viewed. Now, I was talking to a candidate's office today, and I said, you know, and I know that the papers always check the ad copy because they don't want to look stupid, because whether the mistakes are in an ad or in the body of a story, it looks bad on the paper, right? But they obviously specifically left the mistakes in there. They didn't call the candidate's office to say, hey, you want to reread this damn thing? This is a mess. So they purposely didn't pick up a phone and call the candidate, and they purposely didn't fix it. So because they're all pushing the heat. So then this guy gets clobbered, and I don't think he's real bright anyways. I mean, he was a PC candidate, not candidate, but PC president. So he knows the party system, and he knows that's all a fraud, divide and conquer. So I think he just said, well, you know, I was PC president, so I'll just jump in here and maybe I'll get a job. So he got whacked twice in a row. And not a real bright guy. He is a lawyer, which makes him a liar and apparently a bad speller. But the fact is that the media being all over the incumbent, wanting that incumbent to continue on with the globalist agenda, of which he's more than happy to impart or implement, they take any opportunity, the media, to jump on any candidate for any reason and make them look bad. And this one here, it looked bad as well. So I'll throw this in here. You can take a read at it if you want. And you can just go to CBC, I guess, Calgary, the Calgary section. Or just put in CBC candidate controversy or whatever, and you should get the story. But it's like I've been involved in politics. It's about as dirty a world as you could hope to find or not find. It's more mafioso than anything. I mean, this is dirty pool. This is not about serving constituents. It's about moving agendas, and that's exactly what they do. And the public doesn't get it, and it really saddens me about this country. Is people just don't get most of what they should get. They get very little about anything. They have no real understanding of politics. You know, their idea of politics is to bitch and complain because their taxes went up or whatever all year or for the space in between elections, and then listen to some media nonsense and then go to the polls, you know, and put their X on somebody's name, but they have no clue what the hell's going on. So it's our fault. Everything bad that's happening in this nation is our fault. You know, we just want to stay blind. We don't want to know. I don't know why people don't want to know. That has always kind of boggled my mind. Now, I got told that the unemployment last night, I got told the unemployment rate Calgary is kicking something like 19, I think it was 19, 12 or 19%. That's awful high, which is unfortunate. But this is all I can say is this is one damned, damned important election. I wouldn't even consider going to Calgary. Just to go to Calgary. This is about our country. This is about having a space here that we can possibly start to turn things around. Here's a headline. Incumbents have the advantage in municipal politics, but not always. But this, the message is the incumbents have the advantage, and everybody knows it. So far as I know, there's been no place, and I could be wrong on this, but from what I know, up to date, there hasn't been any open mic thing going on. This is all pre-constructed questions, and so the candidate, I hate that shit, by the way, because I've been in elections, you know. It's really sad because the moderator will ask you a question and then each of you get a minute or something to answer it. You've got no interplay with the listeners. It's very tight. So here's, I talked to this guy. See, he's on the Calgary page here today. And he, very interesting guy, because he called me back. And we had a very nice chat, you know, and I was talking about vote splitting and stuff, and, you know, he said, I ain't getting out, right? He says, I'm running on principle, and that's it. But he was a gentleman at the Mount Royal, and I guess every other thing he's been at. They did, as far as I know, they did one at Mount Royal, which I watched, University and the Calgary University. And, he had a couple of friends, but this guy was speaking dead nuts truth, right? And when I was talking to him on the phone, I said, did you have like a friend or two who were at the university. He goes, yeah, I had a couple of friends there. I said, yeah, because I only heard two sets of hands clapping each time you spoke. But, you know, he's at the university, and he's talking about transgenderism and suicide rates of transgenders and this and that, because there was a question about inclusivity or gender or whatever the question was about. But this guy, I had a really good chat with him, and I agree with him, right? I agree with him. But it ain't going to get him into the mayor's seat, that's for damn sure. So this is an opinion piece. I'm going to take a look at it. Candidate Larry Heather on the challenges facing Calgary. Now, this could be pretty good. Editor's note, as part of our coverage for the October 16th civic election, Calgary has offered each candidate for the office of mayor an opportunity to write up to 700 words on our website outlining what they believe to be the greatest challenges. Now, I did this in an election in 2010 for mayor, and the editor of the paper, you know, he says, you know, you're the only one that wrote anything intelligent, right? Well, yeah, because I can, because I'm not vetted, I'm not saddled, and nor is Larry Heather. Let's see. So he is, this will kill him, even though Southern Alberta is basically referred to as the Bible Belt. You know, he starts off with, I pledge to restore the lordship of Christ to the mayor's office in harmony with the supremacy of God preamble of the charter. Now, that's what I talked to him about, because he, when he finished his last spiel at the university, he pledged to restore the lordship of Christ. But I was talking to him about the preamble, which they call a dead letter. The Supreme Court and that calls it a dead letter. And a dead letter is something that's outlived its usefulness, okay? And that's why they're moving the Christian faith out of here, because it's outlived its usefulness, and now we're going to replace that with the Quran and Sharia. But like I explained to Larry, you know, they call it a dead letter. Well, if the preamble's a dead letter, then that means the rule of law, which is the legal system, which is in fact not law, is also, it doesn't exist. You can't take the preamble and say, well, let's see, the most important part is the preamble that says the Constitution is based upon the principles and supremacy of God and the rule of law. Well, if the preamble is a dead letter, then so is the rule of law. So we're going to challenge on that. Again, when I called the Chief Justice's office in Ottawa, they would not allow me to read the preamble. Can you believe that? But it's true. I think I have it recorded. Every time I went to read it, I was threatened that they would hang up on me if I read it. So I'd start to read it, and they get all excited, and then I'd have to back out and talk for a bit, and so on and so forth. And eventually I just went with it, and as far as I got was based on the principles and click. So that's how your city, or not your city, but your country's run. And we have a lot of fixing to do. Let's see, what he's going to do here. Cut the city staffing by one third. I remember him saying that at the Mount Royal all candidates meeting. And he's absolutely correct. The amount of money wasted on staffing, and I did work for the city of Calgary when I was out there for, I think, not very long. But we were putting in storm sewers, I think. And I asked my boss, I said, like, what the hell's going on here? You know, like, the way that worked, we were doing 10-hour days, but we didn't have a lunch, because if you have lunch, you don't get paid for it. So the union worked it out. So we get 2 20-minute breaks, and we get paid for the full 10 hours. But we had twice too much equipment there. We had twice too many men there, and it was taking twice as long to do as it should have. And, you know, I said to the guy, to my boss, I said, what the hell's going on here, right? You know, we got twice as much equipment, twice as many as we need, and it's actually slowing things down, not speeding it up. And he says, well, we need to blow the budget. Well, why would you blow the budget? Why don't you try coming in under budget? Well, yeah, but then we want more money next year. So we have to blow it so that we can get more money. And I said, well, yeah, but then you're screwing everybody else that lives here, right? And that's what happens in the city, folks. So Larry's absolutely correct. Get rid of a third. You probably get rid of half of them, but get rid of a third of them. City Hall is a growth planning monstrosity afflicted with the equivalent of gigantism, unnecessary and distortion, producing growth due to pituitary tumor producing overproduction of growth hormone. Well, that's a little wild, but could have made that simpler. Number two, fighting congestion and making vehicle travel in Calgary efficient again will be a major focus of Larry's term. Well, they specifically are making the cities congested on purpose. Okay, on purpose, because they want an excuse to put in more transit, because their end intent is that nobody will be driving a personal vehicle. Number three, reversal of the renaming of the Langevin Bridge to Reconciliation Bridge, halting the imposition of supplanted loyalties and dumping of invocation of Treaty 7 sovereignty that replaced the council prayer, educate on the dangers of false historical revisionism of Canada's history, promote the Commonwealth and the monarchy as an irreplaceable part of Canada's history. Well, yes and no. The monarchy, which is the head of state, this Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, the globalism is basically just a continuation of colonialism, and the royal family is up to their ass in it, so they should all really be hung. But on the other hand, once the monarchy disappears, and I suspect it will in the not too, too distant future, probably shortly thereafter the Queen passes away, which isn't going to be far away, then that will open the door to close down and finish their globalism. Anyways, number four, commitment to restore the Lordship Christ over the mayor's office to honor the supremacy of God and the basis of rule of law. Well, I already said that. Number five, dissolving the Municipal Land Corporation to get the city out of profiting from the manipulation and speculation of land pricing. Good plan. Seek to remove Beaufort Towers to a more suitable location, such as the entrance to Calgary Landfill, revoking of the public art policy and making grants conditional per location subject to public scrutiny before project is shown. Reinstate the older hours when a playground speed zone was applicable. Do not allow schools to be designated playground zones. Oppose any moves to lower residential speeds down to 40 or 30 across the city. Let's see what else he's got in here. He's actually got some good stuff in here. R1, educate on the origin of the irreplaceable benefits of R1 community zoning and restrict the secondary suites areas, reinstate the application fees. Well, in my town, R1 has been dismissed by the planners. There is no such thing as R1 anymore. It used to be R1 was family family homes, single family homes. That's what it was, single family homes, not duplexes, not triplexes, not apartment buildings, single family homes. But as the planner in my county, we were talking, and as he explained, the word family has even been taken out, okay? So according to the planners now, there's no such thing as a family. That's why, I guess in Calgary, they got some 20 plus upwards of 30,000 illegal apartments. And a lot of that has to do with the immigrants, I suppose. So it basically turned the city into a slum. And that is the plan. That is the overall plan. Bum-de-bum-de-bum. Reversing the diversity equal gender hiring mandates of the civic administration, police force, fire department, all positions to be merit-based only. Absolutely correct. You know, I don't care what color you are. I don't care what your education is. I don't care what your freaking gender is. The question is, can you do the job? That's it. That's it. And too many things are being screwed up because of this whole policy, this equality policy, which again comes out of the UN and all of the tax-exempt foundations that are part of it. Yeah, so basically what Larry's bitching about here, let's get back to normal, basically. You know, work on cutting off the supply chain of illegal drugs, educate citizens on the harm of so-called legalized drugs. And that's very important because most of the drugs on the street are basically pharmaceuticals now. You know, you got your Oxycontins and you got your fentanyls and all that kind of stuff. It's all, again, for a purpose. It's all part of the agenda. Get rid of all this carbon tax, environmental penalties, which are harmful to the oil and gas economy in Calgary. Repeal and replace the bankrupting and foolish excessive urban designs of image of imagined Calgary. Well, it's not just imagine Calgary, it's imagine where you live as well. And that's all from the infill planners, which is pushing the UN agenda. Restore the primacy of the automobile and truck to our mode of transportation. Exactly, but that's not the plan. And that's why it's so important to get this particular mayor out of there, but it really isn't going to change anything. It wouldn't matter if Larry or somebody else becomes the mayor. Nothing's going to change because most of these candidates are already vetted, and most of the incumbents will get back in. And then you have the problem with the city planner and the administrative staff, which are all there to implement the globalist agendas. So even if Larry got in, he doesn't matter who gets in, they only have one vote. And to go against the agenda, which is set by the globalists, but passed down to the city manager, CAOs, to implement shrewdly into the city or town, is going to be impossible for the next mayor. First, we got to get the heat out of there. But it doesn't matter who gets elected, you're basically hoodwinked, or you can't do anything because you only got one vote. And if you raise too much of a stink, in other words, if you become a whistleblower, so to speak, to the public, they will hang your ass, and you'll probably find yourself charged with improper use of the office or whatever. they'll come up with something. They got a lawyer sitting there all the time, or a city the size of Calgary, they got a bank of lawyers sitting there watching the council, okay, to make sure that they just keep pushing the agenda. And anybody that steps out of line is going to get dragged out. We see, I mean, I'm in rural Ontario, and we see this here. And, you know, we had a counselor here that tried to stand up for a constituent that was being hounded by the municipality. And he got dragged through the coals. And he thought his job was to stand up for the constituent, which it's not. His job is to shut up and do the bidding of the corporation, which is the municipality. And I know of other counselors I've talked to have been, you know, threatened and dragged into courts, not because they did something wrong, but because they did what they should be doing, and that's working with the people and alerting the people to what the hell's going on. So this is why I'm so adamant about people running in a local election. Okay, so regardless of who becomes mayor in Calgary, nothing's going to change. It just isn't going to change. You can have the best meaning mayor on the planet, but he's only got one vote, and Calgary has 14 councillors. So I guarantee you at least 50% of them are Marxists, and the other ones are probably airheads, and they'll do as they're told. So it doesn't matter what a mayor brings forward, if it is not fit into the agenda of taking you out of your vehicle and turning your house into an apartment, you just don't have any power. So the point here is to get a good man into office and get rid of the incumbent. And then we got to work on the next 4 years. And that's one of the reasons that they moved from 3 to 4 years in municipal elections. They moved to 4 years because they want to give these mayors as much time as possible to implement agendas, okay? And you know, yeah, that's all agreed upon, that's how that works. Let me just get here. Then the last one, now I don't know what this even means. Revoke stickered mailbox bans. These are a violation of protected free speech. Oh, I guess if somebody puts stuff up on a mailbox, you can't do that. And that's all about shutting down your rights to say what's on your mind. And lastly, number 20, a major reform in enforcement of community standards bylaw to reverse the current slide into Slumville, tolerated by the current regime. Also a dedicated program to halt weed proliferation on public and private realms. The current third worldish maintenance standards of the current regime must be taken to the dump along with the Beaufort Towers. And he's absolutely correct again when he says third world. Okay, because again, as Mark Strong said, isn't the only hope for the planet is that the industrialized nations collapse. Isn't that our responsibility to help bring that about? And that's exactly what's going on in the city of Calgary. That's what's going on in every city in this country. That's what's going on in every town in this country. And the plan is that you will be a corporate renter. Okay, and the corporations will tell you how much water you're allowed and how much electricity you're allowed. We live in the richest nation on the frickin' planet, bar none. You know, we have more resources than any place on the planet. And people are being shoved into these cities, which are going to turn into third world cities. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it because it's the plan. The only way it's not going to happen is if we stand up and say no. And Larry, I got to take my hat off to him. I had we had a really good chat for, I don't know, an hour or so. And he's absolutely nailing stuff. Okay. We're supposed to be under law. We're not. We're in the legal realm, which is a fictional realm. We're supposed to be men and women. We're not. We're humans, which is an animal. Okay? And I don't know how we're, you know, if you're running around as an animal, then people got mad with the head of Nestle, I think it was, who said that, you know, humans don't have a right to water. And he's absolutely correct. Right? An animal doesn't have a right to water. And as a human, you keep calling yourselves humans, you're calling yourself animals, because according to the definition of a human is something that evolved from a great ape. Now, if you want to be an animal, then be an animal. But you see, the men who want to play God don't have any authority over man, because they didn't create man or woman. And they can't rule through law because they didn't create the law. So they create the legal system and restatus you as an animal. So they created you when they created the animal. And they created the law for the animal with the legal system. So Larry's absolutely correct. And the preamble's absolutely correct. But the powers that be refuse to recognize the preamble. Well, if your government, if your government, who said they gave you a charter/constitution, and the preamble is always there to tell you what everything's based upon, and they ignore the preamble, and a judge calls it a dead letter, then we got a huge problem in this nation. And the only way to fix our nation is to get back to law and stand as men and women. As long as we allow ourselves to be called animals, we don't have any rights, right? We just don't have any rights. And you see this all the time in the legislature when they just continue to write the most ridiculous freaking rules, regulations, which they have no authority to do on a man or a woman, but they do over an animal because that's what they created. And whatever they created, they control. And as long as we remain in the realm of animal, then we're just going to continue to get what we basically deserve. So anyways, I'll put this in here. This is just a thing from Larry, and I want people to keep an eye on this election. This is, like I said, probably one of the most important elections that's ever taken place in this entire country. You know, I think it was Cohen. He did a song, you know, first we take Manhattan and then we take Berlin or vice versa. And I have the same attitude here, you know. First we take Calgary and then we take Alberta. And we move across the country both directions from there. The other thing before we go that Larry mentioned to me was that now he's a devout Christian, and there's a meeting was planned for a church or churches for the congregations, I guess. And Larry, who's a devout Christian, is not asked to speak, but the Ismaili Muslim mayor is asked to speak at the Christian churches. And again, this is the amalgamation of the religions and the disappearing of the faith that built this nation. So, you know, best of to you, Larry. He doesn't have a hope in hell getting elected, zero hope. But but he's doing his best to educate people. So I have to admire the man, because at least he stepped up to the plate. Okay? He stepped up to the plate, and he's speaking, and he's in the newspaper. This is what I tell people. This is a perfect opportunity to say what's on your mind. Perfect opportunity, you know? The CBC, and I'm sure the other papers in Calgary, you know, facilitate space. The local radio stations facilitate space. All on the house. You couldn't buy this in Calgary. It's $500 to run for mayor. City's over a million people. How cheap is that? And then the $500, you know, you get these, you get this airtime, and you get to speak to the public, because we have to educate the public. So, you know, I enjoyed the conversation I had with Larry. He's a very intelligent guy. He knows what the hell's going on. He knows what the program is. He knows what's being implemented in the city. And he stepped up to the plate to try to explain the best he can to the people. And if we had many, 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 many more Larrys, then the people would get it. They couldn't set Larry off as a nutcase, which he's not. But because he's a lonely voice out here, people, oh, well, that's kind of interesting, but, you know, like, what the hell? So he don't get any recognition, even though he was, like I said, he was the only candidate when I watched the Mount Royal University candidates meeting or debate. It wasn't a debate. There was no debate in it. Just answer some stupid questions for a minute. But he was the only candidate in the whole works of them that actually said what had to be said. And the only two people that clapped for what he had to say, which is the truth, was the two friends he brought to the university with him. And that really shows how far we've fallen here in this nation. So hats off to all the candidates. I hope I can put something together here. I've had some very, very generous offers from people in Calgary that would like me to come out there. And so over the next couple of days or so, we're working on a song right now, which I would like to have blasted everywhere in Calgary. So hopefully we can get that done in the next day or so. And hopefully we can, put what I need to put together in order to make it worth my while to go to Calgary. But this is the most important election in this country at this time. And for a very, very long time, this is much more important than the federal election. This is the election that can begin to turn this around. People have been rolling over to the Muslim faction, and you can't say nothing about it. Well, let's just kick the guy out, send him down the road, and put a little pride in the people of Calgary. It really hurts my feelings, because I loved Calgary. Was a beautiful town, man, when I lived out there. And I'm hearing from, I was talking to my brother-in-law, and I said, you know, like, I'm talking to these people in Calgary, and they said it's turned into a shithole. And he said, I've heard people that come back from there that called it a shithole. And that really bugs me, because it was a super clean, beautiful city. Anyways, I guess we're out of time, so I'll put this in the chat. And keep an eye on the election.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social slime, they don't matter, genocide,
everybody. Sick from water, sick
from air, making money, they don't care, Caesar shit, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they warm, they shoot, they kill, they mass on cocaine, they burn the kids, no more things.